Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversations. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Karen Rayburn, Managing Director and owner of WeRPF. How are you, Karen?
So good. Thanks for having me, Liz. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have a chance to talk to you. Now, and for people who haven't heard you speak before, it's always a little disconcerting that we've got this American who works in Scotland. So it's a little disconcerting, but I know that it works for you.
It is. And it's a good reminder never to presume that you know where somebody's from or where they live or make those connections. It's a great opportunity for curiosity, because I get people saying, oh, you must not be from here in Scotland. And I'm like, well, I have lived here for 22 years, so I sort of am now, but I understand why you would think that. And then we have a lovely conversation about travel.
That's right. That's right. Now, can you tell listeners a little bit about your company and what you and your team do?
Yeah, so PF is a creative agency. It stands for The Profitable Firm, and we help accountants to understand the structure of marketing and enjoy being involved in marketing so that they can work with the clients they love. That's what we want to do. We want to do that for as many accountants in the world as we can. And whether we do that through free resources, we have tons of blogs and videos and PDF guides and all of that. If we help even one or two accountants or 1,000 accountants with all those resources, great. If people want to work with us, great. But our goal is to help accountants with that, so that they understand their role in marketing and not hand it off to somebody, but be involved in it so that their marketing truly reflects them. So we have a team of 18 creatives. They work all over the world with accountants all over the world. And we're all remote, working from home offices or co-working spaces, and really enjoy getting to help so many different accountant entrepreneurs.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And I think it's wonderful to have a firm that really teaches accountants that marketing doesn't have to be a dirty word. I think that's correct.
Yes. Yeah, that is really important to us, that market. I think that a little less so now. On the positive side, I'm seeing a lot of accountants who are open to this or even excited about it and seeing how they can bring marketing into their firm. But having done this for 20 years, there's always some accountants who have some reservations or some worries or thinking, well, I'm not very creative, or that's not my job. I just do my job and then we'll have the marketing over here. And a lot of what we do is help accountants to connect marketing with their whole business. So if you have a marketing problem, you have a business problem. If you have a business problem, there's often a marketing solution that can help with it. So we help to tie those together. Like, for example, an accountancy firm who's struggling to recruit, maybe their brand isn't on point. Maybe their social media or their videos or lack thereof is preventing these great people that they want to hire from realizing what a great firm they are, because there's a mismatch. So it's not only the prospects, it's the prospective team members. That sort of thing can connect those, and the clients we work with end up going, oh, this isn't just marketing in a silo. This is the whole connection. I can actually make a better business by addressing marketing.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you recently wrote a book called The Accountant Marketer, The Structured Approach Any Accountant Can Follow to Attract Clients They Love, which is a fantastic book, by the way.
Yay.
Why did you choose to write this book?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the short version is, this is everything I would love to be able to share with any accountant who wants to understand marketing and their role in marketing. So having served accountants for 20 years in helping them with marketing, I'm a qualified accountant myself in the States, I'm a CPA, I've worked as an auditor. I've worked in an accountancy firm. I worked as a marketing person in an accountancy firm. I worked as a business development person. I created a whole consultancy advisory division in an accountancy firm. So I've been on that side and I've worked with accountants since then. And the more we helped educate accountants about content marketing specifically and how it applies to their firms, the more we saw patterns of things that when they know these things in order and how the structure fits together, it makes their marketing better. It helps them be more confident. Like, I can do this. This isn't this nebulous thing far away that I have to hire somebody else for, hope that they get it right, and then feel really annoyed later that I've wasted all this money and haven't gotten what I wanted. Instead, you can understand how they fit together so you know what parts you do and what parts you hire somebody else for, whatever it be. And we turned it into a coaching group called the Accelerator. And we had 12 sessions that all stacked together. And I've been running that for 8 or 9 years. We've had over 500 accountants go through it. Wow. And now it's a 12-week program, whereas originally it was 12 months, but the 12 elements have roughly stayed the same. So the book flows from those 12. Each chapter is one of the 12, and they go in order. It's very important that before you start any marketing, you consider your audience. So that's chapter one. And then as you consider your audience, you think about what their issues are and how they feel and what's troubling them or worrying them or exciting them or motivating them. Those are the issues they face. That's chapter two. So they go in order. They connect with the accelerator group that we run. But my desire for this book is that accountants can have a essentially like a resource manual to go to say, do you know, I just really want to learn more about how branding is a part of my marketing. I'm going to go read chapter four. Or I want to get better at video. I'm just going to read chapter 10 and pull this. I still recommend that you read all the chapters in order to see the big picture. But it's all there's also a lot in it. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of specific instruction and bullet points and ideas. And most of the accountants I've spoken to who have read an advanced copy, you were one of them, were saying, I have all these ideas and I'm writing things down and I'm thinking of this and I'm rethinking my brand or whatever it be. And that's really exciting for me because that's why I wrote it. Like if all an accountant does is get this book, read it and be helped, that's a win.
Oh, that's perfect. Now, something I really liked about your book is that it was based around a set of core principles. And a lot of these are not applicable just to marketing. Some of my favorites are good marketing divides and just get started. Keep going. And the right way is the long way. Now, can you talk a little bit about what these principles mean for accountants and for marketing?
Yeah, they all have a connecting theme, I think, when you look at these. We're saying good marketing divides means that marketing's job is to bring you the right clients, the best clients, the ideal clients for you, and to send away all the ones that aren't a fit for you. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win for everybody. You're not wasting time, they're not wasting time, and you are spending time on the people you are best placed to serve.
Yes.
Just get started and just keep going have to do with they have to go together. You have to start, but starting isn't enough. And you need to keep going, and you need to keep going in the right direction consistently. Because if you keep going this way and then turn and keep going this way and then turn and keep, that's not really keeping going. That's just going around in circles. And then you tie that all together with the right way is the long way, which means that if you're going to do anything well, really well, it takes a long time. Now, that's comparative depending on what the thing is. If you're going to be more healthy or get more fit, that could take 2 months. It could take 2 years. If you're going to make whiskey, which I mean, I shamelessly borrowed that phrase from Glengoyne Distillery in Scotland, one of my favorite distilleries. I've been through their tour a couple times. And they have the slowest stills, the copper stills that distill the whiskey, in Scotland, and they're proud of it. They're like, we have the slowest ones. We're the ones that do it the long way, because that's what gets you the high quality whiskey or high quality whatever. That principle applies to the good stuff. So if you want something that's good, you need to invest the time and effort into the ingredients to get there. And actually, that one ties in, the whiskey making analogy ties in beautifully with content marketing, because usually it takes 2 to 3 years of consistent custom content in the right direction for the same audience before you get that beautiful drip feed of, wow, where did this lead even come from? I don't even know. And it doesn't mean you won't get results as you start things. We've seen clients write a blog and 2 days later, they sign a new client for 30 grand's worth of work. Yay. But we all know that it's not just the blog. It's the brand and the website and the social and the fact that they met them in an event 3 years ago. But as you are consistent with it over time, that drip feed begins to happen. So if you want the good stuff, whether you consider whiskey good stuff or not, so, right. I do. Not everyone does. It's fine. You can have other things. But that principle of investing in the good, big foundational things, the quality ingredients that, and keeping going in the same direction, that's what gets you where you want to be. And as far as I can tell, I believe that most people I'm talking to recognize that in their lives. You know, you want a really beautiful and well-constructed house, it's going to take a while. It's probably going to take longer than you think. You want to look completely different than you look now, it's probably going to take a good amount of time. There aren't shortcuts, and we have this temptation to want the shortcut. What's the quick thing? What's the diet? What's the food that I can buy? Is going keto going to do that? Whatever. And there are many things that can help you, but at the end of the day, it's something very simple. And again, with the whiskey analogy, Scottish whiskey is made of 3 ingredients, yeast, barley, and water. That's it. Yeah. That's what makes Scottish whiskey, and thyme. But those are the 3 ingredients. And the ingredients of marketing are actually quite simple. And they have to do with who you are and who you serve. Mm-hmm. And when you consider both of those and you continue in the same direction, you get those quality results that you want.
Yeah. And you just can't rush it. Yeah. So many people just try to rush it. They go for the quick SEO fix. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I wrote a case study for a firm that I was working for, and the person who was doing the marketing took one look at it and said, "This is too long. People don't read online." And I just thought, well, that's an odd perception.
It is interesting because some people don't. Like, some people would prefer a video or the short version, but not everybody. And then you get into the concept of things like stackable content. So if you have this super long case study, which, as you and I both know, somebody will read that. Somebody who connects with that person will say, "I feel like Rebecca," or whoever this person is. "I feel like Rebecca felt, but I don't have the success that she had. Maybe I'll get in touch." And they read every word of it. You know, your buyer does 70% of their, make 70% of their buying decision before they ever get in touch. But there are other people who will go, "I'm not going to read all that." And that's fine. You take 2 sentences and put it on your social media, or record a 1 minute Instagram reel about it. It's not about the "that won't work at all." It's, well, who will it work for? And then we're back to your audience. Is your ideal audience somebody who's going to read things or sit on a computer and attend an online Zoom session? If they're not, record some videos, create an app, do whatever it is that's helpful for them. Not do that thing which I've seen some businesses and accountants do of, "Well, that other firm is doing that, so I guess that worked for them. We better try it." Now, you can try it, but you need to consider who you are, who your audience is, why you're doing this, what you want them to do. And if it doesn't fit, then maybe you don't have to do the dancing video. Maybe that's not you, and that's okay.
Yeah. I think there's something for everyone. Absolutely. Now, we've had a lot of publicity recently around AI platforms like ChatGPT. How is this going to impact the way that marketing is going to be done in the future?
Yeah, it's a great question because it's, you know, hot topic and something everybody's, well, almost everyone is either passionately wondering about and excited about and trying it out and playing with it, or sort of studiously avoiding it, going, maybe it won't be a thing. Maybe if I ignore the new horseless carriages, everything will be okay. And it does seem like it's the next transition for us. I mean, when you think about ChatGPT, it's sort of a glorified Google. You know, we go to Google and type in what is the best, you know, coffee machine for my kitchen counter. And depending what Google tells you, you revise your search terms. You go, oh, actually, that phrase I didn't know until Google brought it up in all the searches, so I will change that. And then you try again. And then you get a different phrase and you try again. That concept is what you're doing with ChatGPT in a different way. And right now that's happening with content, but it's already beginning to happen with images and with video and with all of these things. And you can take a couple approaches to it. You can take the fear approach. Oh no, we'll never have an original book ever again. Nobody will ever know if an image is real, all of that. Or you can take the excited entrepreneurial approach, which is, how do I use this as another tool in my toolbox and support the good, solid foundations of this quality marketing that we're going to do? Because you could go the, oh, well, you know, I don't need to use that. I'll just write it myself or use this content or whatever. But already we're seeing people say, I gathered a bunch of thoughts that I had and threw it into ChatGPT and it helped me. It helped me organize it. It helped me find this thing that was locked in the back of my brain. So if we look at it as an opportunity to pull out the best of us, but it's still the best of us that's coming out. It's not the best of the machines. It's the best of us. So when you look at ChatGPT right now, it's gathering content from all the content on the interwebs and putting it together. That's why you want to use your judgment and make sure you're not copying and pasting, because then you're just falling into the old shortcut route. Oh, yay, yes. I found something of a generic blog post. I'll throw this together. Yay, I have a 6,000 word blog post. Is it a good blog post? Who is it for? What issue is it solving? Where did it come from? Is it really helpful, or is it one of these? There are four different approaches that you could take towards improving cash flow. There are a million blog posts like that, and that's where ChatGPT is getting the content. And so it's not to say that you couldn't use some of it, but make sure you're connecting it with your humanity and your personality and the creativity that you have, that every human innately has. And then it can be a very, very good and powerful thing indeed.
Yeah, I think so, because it's got the ability to just pull together so much information, so much more than we as humans can. But yet, when you read something, you can go, this isn't really me, and it doesn't speak to my audience, to the people that I want to attract.
And once again, having that confidence of saying, this is who I am, this is who I serve, this is who we are, this is our approach, these are our values, then that improves how you use that or any other tool, which is the same approach that we take at PF. When a client is coming to work with us, they might say, could you write me a blog post per week? We're like, well, technically, yes, we could. And first, in order to do that, we need to understand who you are, who you serve, what their issues are, what's your tone, what's your take on this? What would the approach be if one of your clients came to you and they didn't say, I'm wondering how to streamline my cash flow processes, but they say, I'm a little worried I don't have enough in the bank. Can I hire somebody? If that's their question, then that's the content we create. And we want the tone of who you are to come across so that when they read the blog, watch the video, follow you on the socials, and then they meet you, it matches. You know, that's my hope for somebody who reads my book and then listens to this podcast and they go, oh, they're the same. That sounds like her. That's what you're doing in your marketing. And if AI can help you do that faster, if it can pull that out, great. But currently, at least, you're the one who needs to tell it where to go and what to draw from and add your perspective on it, because otherwise you could fall into that trap of just grabbing other people's stuff, shining it up a little and presenting it as your own, which isn't really going to help anybody. It's just going to help you feel better about having more blog posts on your site.
Yeah, you know, and it might make Google a little happier because what Google likes is fresh content. Mm-hmm. But
fresh content being the key as well. Like, again, mm-hmm. if you're gathering content from other people and putting a little fresh spin on it, is it truly fresh content? So Google's getting smarter about that. And then secondly, don't write for Google, write for your audience. Like, if you get one great lead of the kind of ideal client, like you think of your favorite client, the one that you're like, I wish all of my clients could be like this person or these people. I love their approach. I love the way they respond. I love the way they raise their hand if they've made a mistake. I love the way they're honest and have an opinion. Whatever it is that you love about them as a person, about them as a business, and you think, I wish every single client I had was like this. Imagine if your marketing was bringing them, all you need is one. I mean, you might want one per day or one per week or whatever it is your goals are, but all you need is the one. You don't need 10,000 people finding your blog and then leaving. That doesn't do anybody any good. You want your one great person to find it, read it, and get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, another one of your core principles, which is also a pillar of PF, is creativity, which I just love. You know, accountants don't think that they are creative. We're numbers people. We like black and white. You know, we like our boundaries and our checklists and right and wrong. But you say creativity is for accountants too. So how can accountants tap into the creativity that they don't even know what they have?
Yeah, it's a great question. I am very passionate about the fact that accountants are creative. And it's one of those very simple formulas. Humans are creative. Accountants are humans. Therefore, accountants are creative. But it's true in the sense that every human has this creativity within them. Now, for some of us, that has been squished down for a time or for a lifetime. And for accountants, I'll back up for a second. You see it in children. There was a study done that showed that up to the age of five, don't quote me on this one specifically, but I believe it was up to the age of five, children had this, the approach that they took to things was this creative, open, curious approach. And between the ages of 5 to 18, that started to go down. So up to the age of five, it was 98% of children had this approach and this mindset. By the time it got to 18, it was down to 2%. And there's a whole other conversation we could have about the education system and all that structure and all of those things. But we recognize that. We see these little children with the way that their minds go and the things they say and the different perspective that surprises us, because we've been looking at it this way for 40 years and they're going, well, why is it called that? And we're thinking, why is it called that? Where did that come from? And they're full of questions. So we see that in children. And that same principle applies to accountants, because for a couple of the reasons you mentioned, you've got the, this is what I'm good at. And it is what accountants are often good at. Yay for accountants being good at spreadsheets and checklists. And that's why we have them. I absolutely rely on our accountants, and they keep us right. And they make sure we don't pay penalties that we don't have to, or pay more tax than we have to, and balance out all those numbers. And we go to them for that. But if you find your identity in that alone, and you're not exploring that creative part that's been squished down, it's there, but it's been squished down, then you're missing an opportunity in your marketing, and I would even say in your life, because you are putting yourself in a box that you don't have to be in. You can be an accountant who loves spreadsheets. And side note, I was telling one of our clients about a new guide we'd created about all the content that your prospects most need that most accountants haven't created. So whatever this content is, the prospect's saying, we want this. Many accountants haven't created it. So we created a whole guide to say, here's the content. And I said, it comes with a video and a checklist that's in a G sheet. And she went, oh, spreadsheet. Yay. Like, that's great. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if you pull yourself into that box and don't let yourself open up to these other things that are there, then you're restricting your enjoyment of your business and your marketing, your understanding. And the beautiful thing about it, for any accountant who's listening going, yes, that all sounds very nice, Karen, but I'm not creative. I'm not a painter. I'm not an illustrator. I don't write books like you. I'm not creative. Then one thing that can help is to recognize that the two of the elements of creativity are problem solving and curiosity. Mm-hmm. If you have those, and every accountant we work with has those, because you've got it with your clients. Oh, I wonder what that problem is. I wonder how we could help solve that. Where does that come from? How might we? And you combine that with the curious element of, well, we could try this or we could try that. And yes, you have some boundaries as an account of what you can try and what you can't. But that those two elements, if you have those, then you are creative. It's just a case of needing to practice it a bit more. And also giving yourself permission to say, yes, I am creative, maybe not in the way that I defined creativity before. So my mother, my wonderful mother, who is a research chemist, she would always say, oh, I'm not very creative. I don't know how you girls, you know, draw these things or paint these things or whatever. Where did that come from? And I think, Mom, like, you should see this woman in a garden. You know, she can turn the desert of Phoenix into like this glorious land of flowers and beauty. That's creativity. It's just a different kind of creativity. Or being creative with ingredients in a recipe. So everybody's got a different spin on it, but everyone is creative, and that includes accountants. And I'm passionate about it because when you recognize that you are creative, your marketing gets better because you're giving yourself permission to lean into what is already there. You don't have to create it out of nothing. You don't have to go, okay, I'm gonna tell myself I'm creative, but deep down I know it's a lie. You don't have to do that. You can deep down know that it's true. Okay, if you don't know it's true, you can take my word on it until you experience it as true. Well, we just ran an event recently for a bunch of our clients on storytelling. And the big takeaway for many of them at the end of the day was, I can tell stories too. Everyone can tell a story. But we bind ourselves into this, oh, but I don't tell it as well as them. Oh, she told that story that way. And everybody laughed and everybody was, you know, focused on this whole story. And the last time I told a story, I stuttered around in circles and forgot the point and ended up saying, never mind. That doesn't mean you're not a storyteller. It means that maybe you need to practice your storytelling a little, but it's there. The ability's there. We tell stories every day.
Absolutely. You know, and what I find is that sometimes when I repeat a story multiple times, that it gets better.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I actually find that with some of the stories that I've written in that book. Like we were talking about the whiskey distillery. That's in the book. I put that in there to give that background. And I remember somebody said once that it's like listening to one of your favorite songs on a soundtrack or a Spotify album or something, and then listening to them live in concert. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has read, you know, a chapter of my book and heard the story about the guy who had the VAT bill and he didn't know what he was going to do with this and he was blaming himself, and then you hear me tell it, they're like, oh, I remember this story. Oh, here we go. You know, it's that's what we do at a concert. That's what we do with stories. That's what we do with words. So it is, there is an element of practice And you don't need to worry that people will get tired of those things, because the ones who are interested will lean in more and will also recognize that there's a journey in learning how to tell stories and learning how to take your pieces of marketing together and learning to lean into your creativity.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I love about this book is that besides just being great on the fundamentals of marketing, there's a lot of it that is dedicated to helping accountants get clear on their own businesses, mm-hmm. you know, figure out the clients they want and figure out how to serve them best. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really important connection to make. You referred to it at the beginning, the connection between business problems and marketing yes. problems.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was just thinking of this the other day, because we have an accountant who went through our accelerator group with those 12 elements. And at the end, I asked him, you know, what do you feel like you got from this? And what was most helpful to you? What were some of your victories? And he said, you know, I didn't realize when I was launching into this marketing coaching group and marketing learning that I would be building a better business as well. And he said that kind of came as a surprise, because I was putting marketing in this little box and I will do the marketing things and I will learn the marketing stuff. He said, I was challenged on what kind of clients do I want? How am I onboarding them? What's their experience like? How is my pricing? Am I pricing appropriately for different kinds of clients? And have I reviewed that in a while? And how do I share that with people? And how many team members do, what are my goals? And what is it that I really want out of this? And that really encouraged me. I was pleased for him and pleased as a leader of the accelerator group to see that somebody is making that connection, because if you separate them and put marketing in its little box and business in this little box, your marketing's not going to be any good, because right. marketing is a reflection of the business that you have. Now, hopefully it's a true and honest reflection, so that the experience somebody has going through your sales, marketing and sales process to become a client matches the client experience. If it doesn't, then either your client experience is great and you're not showing that very well before they become a client, or vice versa. You have this amazing mm-hmm. experience and then the client experience is a letdown. Now, we all struggle with this at times. I'll raise my hand yeah. here at PF. We have not nailed that perfectly. We're constantly working on that, trying and learning. And sometimes we screw up and we talk to somebody about something, and then we get 3 months in, they go, hey, you said this and it didn't happen. And we go, you know what? You're 100% right. Thank you for pointing it out. We're going to fix that. We're going to help that for everybody else. So we all go through that at times. And I don't want anyone listening to be really hard on yourself and saying you have to have it perfect, but it does have to be good. You know, that one of the phrases you use is not perfect, but done. Just get stuff out there. Another one is not perfect, but good. You know, I recognize nothing will ever be perfect, but as accountants, there's a tendency to make it as detailed and specific and as good as possible. So if you're working on making your marketing so good that there is a match and that people feel comfortable and that they feel that sense of the client experience, then that's a win for them and for you. And wherever there is a break in that, wherever you are making promises you're not delivering on, or you are not telling them about things that they find out later, that's a break in your marketing too, because there are people who are coming to your website, coming to your social and going, nah, I'll look at it later. It's not appealing enough. This other website's better. It's not that urgent right now. And they go away. You know, over 48% of people who come, who are referred to accountancy and finance businesses, never get in touch. They mm-hmm. never do. These are the people who are referred. They're like, oh, Liz is great. I love Liz. Go and talk to Liz. And they come. This isn't to pick on you. I'm just picking a random name. And they come and they go, maybe later. So if that happens to you, the accountant, And you don't know about it. You're sitting there going, well, our business is built on word of mouth and referral. And that's great. That is a wonderful thing. And it shows wonderful things about your firm. But who are all the people that you're missing? You don't know, because they're right. not going to tell you. They're not going to say, well, you know, my friend John recommended me. And then I went and looked at these things. And honestly, it just didn't seem that urgent. And I thought I'd do it later. That's a sales objection that you never had the opportunity to address. Or you didn't take the opportunity to address, I correct myself. So when your website and your socials and your marketing, all of it addresses those fears and wonderings and confusions and what ifs, then the marketing matches, the sales matches, the business, and everybody's happy. And I've seen this personally in our own sales process. When we say, do you have any questions? And they maybe have one or two, and you say, is there anything else? Is there anything else? And you ask that until you have gathered all of the questions, and then you answer them at one fell swoop, and they go, oh, okay, I see how all those things fit together. And then you say, is there anything else? And usually there is, because one thing leads to another, and they have more wonderings and more questions, and that's great. Every time somebody asks me a question in our sales or marketing process, I say, what a great question. Thank you so much for asking it. And probably 50% of the time, I would like this to be higher, but we're working on it. We have a video or a blog post or a resource or something that answers that question. But every time it's asked, it's one of two things. It's either an opportunity for us to say, oh, we could create a resource about that, so that next time they don't even have to ask, they can have their question answered. Or we just say they want to have that question answered and be reassured. Maybe they already read the blog post, but maybe they want to ask it again and see if the answer's the same and see if they vibe with you and if they connect with you and if you're their kind of person. So yeah, it's that honesty in marketing that points out at times either that you have a business problem you need to address or that you don't have a problem that needs to be addressed, but it needs to be shared in a better way.
Absolutely. You know, and I was at firms where there was really a solid disconnect between the marketing slogans, all the really wonderful things that they said they did, and how the firm actually operated. And I always thought that was really sad.
It is sad. It's sad in any business. I mean, it's sad, especially in accountancy firms, because that's who we're talking to and those are who I know best. But I find it really disappointing when you come to any kind of business and your greatest fear as a potential client, a prospect of anything. So if you are buying a house or a pair of shoes or a coffee machine, or accountancy firm services, your greatest fear is that you are going to make the wrong decision and waste your money. And you don't want to do that, which is why you do the research. Now, everybody's different. Some people worry about this a lot. Some people worry about it a little. Some people make snap decisions and then change them. Some people research for years before they decide. But everybody is wanting to make sure that they are spending their money or whatever, money, time, etc., in the right place for the right result. And in the back of their mind, there's always a fear, a wondering, or a doubt that this will deliver. So this is why the better the marketing and the client experience, the less of the doubt there is, or the faster the doubt is removed. But if the doubt is there, then it's wiped away and then it's brought back. It's very hard to recover from that. So this is why your marketing needs to address those fears and pains and worries. So instead of saying we are an accountancy firm and we do these services and we do management accounts and we do bookkeeping and we do payroll and we, this is all about us. If your website says, are you worried that whenever you're spending time with your family, that you feel like guilty that you ought to be spending time on your business? And whenever you're spending time on your business, you feel guilty because you're not with your family. And if somebody sees that and goes, oh my word, I was literally just feeling that, you've made that emotional connection. And I'm using this example as one of our clients who has that on their website because they work with people who own businesses and have families of whatever definition mm-hmm. family is. They might have children, they might have siblings, that, you know, whatever their family is, they're feeling whatever the word is, back and forth of up and down. The teeter-totter is the American yes. word. But you're going back and forth. And that addressing that is so much more powerful than saying we are an accountancy firm who do accountancy firm services, because I'm going to guess that your prospect has figured that out by nature of the fact that they've landed on your website and it's of an accountancy firm. And if they've been recommended, that is even more likely the case. So somebody said, go talk to this accountancy firm, they're great. So that's what they're coming to. So this is what I'm always encouraging our accountants to think about: the human person and the way they would say something. Don't try and over-professionalize it. Don't try and put it into accountingese. Or if you're putting into right. accountingese without thinking, read it out loud and say, would I say that? Would I say the most strategic direction for your cash flow statement is to, you know, is that how I would say it? Or would I say, actually, the best thing that you could do would be to look at your cash position every month, every week, every day, and I would do it in this way. If that's how you would say it that way. And mm-hmm. that fits back in with your tone of voice and your style. Some firms are going to be very chill and very relaxed, and the owner's going to be on video with tattoos all over. Great. People who love that will love that. And then other people go, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. I've got to be on perfect professional video with student. Great. If that's you and that fits, do what fits, do what's real, so that they don't come, like you said, so they don't come to this amazing website and go, this is incredible, and then have an experience that doesn't match.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I always thought it was really sad. And I was actually at the point where I couldn't even in good faith recommend those firms to people yeah. who were looking for accountants, because my experience was terrible. Yeah. I bet your experience won't be either.
Yeah, that is hard, because team and culture is such an important part of a firm and of the marketing. You know, I think you were mentioning that, like, right from the beginning in my book, I'm saying the more involved your whole team is, the better. And that's mm-hmm. because your team is involved in delivering the services. Now, this doesn't mean that every accountant in your firm has to be involved in marketing in the same way. Some people will be involved by saying, I had a client ask this question. I am going to put it on the questions list. There, I have done marketing. Great success. And somebody else will actually write a blog post or record a video or do something of that nature. But if your marketing mm-hmm. is coming from a generic, you know, box of accounting topics, that's not going to be as useful as coming from the heads of the account managers and client managers who are talking to the humans every day and getting emails from them and saying, well, I talked to Jack today and he was worried about this. Bam, there's your blog post title. There's your video. Because if one client's worried about it, probably 100 others are as well, and they haven't told you.
I agree. You know, involving the team really makes it more powerful, because not only does this unite the team around the process of marketing and who are our best clients and how do we serve them best, but it also lets their own little flavors and what they bring yes. to it be expressed.
Yes, which is another beautiful part of brand. Like, you can have a tone of voice or values for the firm, and everybody in the firm expresses them a little differently. Mm-hmm. One of our clients said it in a beautiful way. She said, I love all the accents of PF. So we have a lot of people with different languages that they speak. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. That's a great point. And we love that diversity of all these different accents. And she said, yeah, but I also love that, like, everybody at PF lives out these values, but with their own accent. So both physically with the actual spoken accent that or written accent that they have. But it's like saying we all are going along the same road, but in our own style. Every person is unique and human. So this person is not exactly like me. I am not exactly like them. And we're all grateful for that. Like, we need the variety of all these humans, but there's a common theme. And this is another thing that comes out in marketing often, is the more you start digging into your marketing and asking yourself those hard questions about who we are and what we stand for, and do we really stand for it? Or do we just say it on a website page or on a mural on our wall? You know, the team are the one who knows that, as you said, like there's team members who think, really, do we have that value? And if that happens, that's an opportunity. You can look at it one of two ways. You can say, oh no, this is terrible. We have to quash this and we have to make better marketing to pretend that we have it. No, you need to sort out that issue and either say that's not the right value for us to say or use, or make it that value. And if that takes you 3 years to do it, so be it. Get the problem solved at the core. So then your marketing is easy because you just say what it is. You don't have to make people have this fun, positive, creative mindset because they're fun, positive, creative people. If that's who they are, then that will flow out.
Absolutely. You know, and one of my favorite, that's a perfect segue into my next question, which is about mindset, which, you know, I love that thread of mindset that runs all the way through it. You know, and it used to be that accountants thought marketing and selling were not some of the skills that they needed. But I think that books like yours can help accountants learn that, yeah, I can be a marketer. I can be good at sales.
Yeah.
And it's just part of the whole business.
Yes.
So how are you seeing some of those changes?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I've been working with accountants for over 20 years. And I'd say in the early days, there was a lot of like, oh, do I have to do marketing? I guess. Okay, do some marketing for me. And even from the very beginning when I set up PF, and that was 11, 12 years ago now, my approach and the approach we still have today with the whole team is to do marketing collaboratively. We don't do marketing for people. We do marketing with them. Again, back to this authenticity. We draw from your ideas and the words that you say. That's always a really fun part of like a website project. Somebody will, it's almost a throwaway comment or a phrase in one of our strategy sessions. And we'll use that phrase in the content that we're creating. And they're like, wow, that's such a great phrase. You've put that so well. I'm like, actually, you put it well. You're the one who said that. And you said it multiple times. So we pulled that out and used it so that it matches. And, and I think that progression, that movement from accountants saying, well, marketing something I guess I have to have. Well, actually, if I back up even further, there was a period of time where a lot of accountants were saying, I don't need marketing, by which they meant actively seeking out leads. They recognized that they, you know, word of mouth referral, but they didn't consider that proper marketing, or they considered it easy. And for some of them, it was easy. You know, it just sort of happened. And then we went through a whole phase where people are going, hey, just not happening as much as it used to be. I guess I better pay attention to it. And then we went through a phase where accountants started to see the benefit of foundational areas like brand and website and messaging and tone of voice and having a marketing partner, whether it's, you know, an agency like PF or an internal team member, whatever it be. And now I do see so many accountants who are excited about marketing. They're trying stuff with ChatGPT and AI and virtual reality and all the socials and videos, and they're playing with stuff and they're trying stuff and they're moving fast and breaking things. And they're looking at other businesses for ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest shift that I love and I'm excited by. And I encourage any accountant to do is, you know, fine if you want to be inspired by some other accountant that you're like, wow, I think they're doing so great. But equally or even more so, how great is it to go, that coffee shop did something really cool. I wonder what it'd be like if we did that in our firm. or that I bought a pair of shoes and the client experience was like this, how might we do something like that in our firm? And that's so beautiful because you're when you do that, you're stopping thinking about marketing as this one-off thing where you tick little boxes and you're connecting it to the human experience and you're feeling like a prospect. You're saying, how might our prospects feel or our new clients feel if they got a welcome box that had these things in it or had this book or had this email that they get from us or a phone call or whatever, how might they feel? Shall we change our process or our structure or whatever it is that we do a little bit to appeal to that feeling or that situation or that experience? That's such a beautiful thing. And that is what results in the kind of marketing that other accountants look at and maybe are a little envious of and go, oh, we don't have a pool table in our office, or we don't, you know, send people this massive welcome box. You don't have to do what everybody else does. And ideally you don't do what everybody else does, but you get ideas, you borrow them. Austin Kleon has a book called Steal Like an Artist. Mm-hmm. And I love that concept about that's what all of us creative people do. We take an idea and then we get curious with it and we twist it around and we play with it and we make it our own. And then we do something with it. There's really very few original storylines or pieces of art, but everyone is also unique because every human is unique. Every accountancy firm is unique. Every accountant in the accountancy firm is their own unique person. And you're just as the owner and leader of the firm, you are looking for those patterns to connect so you can say all of us here at this firm are like this. And you will see it in different ways and with different accents.
I love it. Love it. I was just at Engage last week and went to a panel with Blake Oliver and David Leary. And one of the things they said was, you know, prospective clients and your clients are comparing the experience of working with you to Amazon.
Yes.
So, you know, clients are not just comparing an accounting firm to other accounting firms, yeah, but to every other company that they do business with.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. We all do that, like positive and negative. I recently had some of I take photographs. I mostly do it on my iPhone now, but this is a beautiful thing about an iPhone. I can take a beautiful photograph on my phone and have it printed on a big canvas print. And I had a couple of them arrive today. And the experience was with this company I used was really good. That's why I keep using them. I upload the photo. They show me what it looks like. It has a little wraparound. I click the buttons. I pay the money. It arrives to my door. It actually arrives earlier, almost always arrives earlier than they say it will. You know, they're like, oh, it might take this long. Oh, great news. We're sending it out. And that's what we do with every experience we have. We go, how did that feel? How do I feel about that company? How might I, you know, mention it? And circling back to the experience of the buyer, if we have a positive experience, we might tell one person. If we have a negative experience, we tend to tell 10 people because we want to protect them and help them. Like, we don't want anybody to go through the experience that I had with that pair of shoes or that bookcase or whatever it is. And we tell people because we're warning them of the danger of that doubt and fear. You know, we talked about the deep down, we're worried we'll make a bad decision. And when we have a bad experience, we say, if you do this, that is going to come true. And I don't want that to happen for you. So I am here for you. And I'm going to go around and tell everybody. If you have a good experience, you go, well, that was good. Because you're hoping that it's good every time. And then when it's good, all is well. So in order for them to tell 10 people how great it is, it needs to be phenomenal. It needs to be next level. Yes. You need to amaze them and blow them away. But bringing that back to where we all are today, some of you may be going, oh, man, I don't even know if it's good, much less amazing. Just start with good. Just get to Peter Shankman has written a couple books about nice companies finish first and the whole raving fans sort of concept.
Right.
And he said, you know, really, when it comes to customer service, all you have to be is one level above crap. because we sort of expect bad service from so many, especially the big companies. So he says, start there. You know, if you're not even at good or amazing, that's fine. Just get one level above crap and then get better and then better and then better, and you can get to amazing. And honestly, the levels of experience that we have had, bad experience, you've had them, I've had them, and we remember them for a lifetime, and it prevents us ever buying from that company again. So fix the little things one at a time. Start small, start safe, do the little things, and then do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and just keep going.
That's right. That's just keep going. Yeah. Now, for my last big question, I have a question I ask almost everyone on this podcast, and I get really different answers depending on the person. What should accountants stop doing immediately?
Stop immediately. I love the urgency of this one. So yes. This is, if you're doing this, stop now. I think in line with what we've been talking about with creativity, I would say stop telling yourself, I am not creative. If there's even the tiniest flicker of that in your mind, stop it. Because that negative self-talk becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if there's any of that, and I think it's good to dig into your mind, because some of you listening, you think, oh, actually, I know I am creative. I've been leaning into my creativity in this way. And that's great. That's wonderful. Use this as an opportunity to say, is there anywhere I'm maybe not leaning into my creativity and telling myself that's not my area, or, you know, somebody else is better at that than me? That's the whole beauty of creativity, is trying something new, being curious, being open, considering problem solving. And then the positive flip side of that would be recognize that since creativity is a combination of problem solving and curiosity, and I borrowed that concept from Ed Catmull, who's the author of Creativity Inc. About Pixar, and great book. Our whole team read it for a team retreat.
Great book.
And that was one of the principles that he was saying about creativity, that, you know, when you consider those two elements, and I just connected those to accountants straight away. So the flip side is that you can say, if you're struggling with saying, I am creative, if that feels off, then recognize those two elements, problem solving and curiosity. And if you can see those both in yourself, then you are creative. And if you're struggling to see either one of those, that's an opportunity as well to lean into it. How might I lean into my curiosity? Is there a problem that I could give my mind to and give some creative thought to?
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Yeah. And I think that accountants are really too hard on themselves for being so analytical.
Yes, because those are the very skills that often make you such a great accountant. So, and I feel this, I was telling one of the team, like, I studied accountancy at university. I became a qualified accountant, became a CPA. And for the 4 years I was at university, every time somebody said, oh, what are you studying? And I said, accountancy, 9 times out of 10, they went, ooh, you know, that was the response that I got. And, you know, I started fighting for accountants even at that young age. I was like, hey, you may not like to do it, but I'm not asking you to. Nobody is asking you to study it. This is my choice. I actually full disclosure, I could sort of had a ew feeling myself when I was like, oh, I don't think I want to study accountancy myself. I went through that. And then I realized that all my accounting courses and classes were the ones that challenged me the most. And there were some management courses and some of these other things that just bored the life out of me. And I didn't get anything from them, but I looked forward to my accounting classes because they made sense and they connected the pieces together. And we had case studies about big companies like Pepsi and looking at their annual accounts and figuring out debits and credits. And there was a challenge to it. So I went through that. And by the time I decided to study it, and then I was faced with people saying, oh no, that seems really boring. I'm like, first, nobody's asking you to do it. And secondly, this is an amazing skill to have. I didn't even intend to be an accountant when I studied it. I just wanted to understand these things because I thought surely this will serve me well if I become business owner, whatever I end up doing. And lo and behold, it has. So yeah, I would say if there's any part of you as an accountant that is kind of putting yourself down a little bit or dismissing yourself because of these great skills you have, turn it around and say, these great skills are what make me a great accountant. And if there's some areas that I can lean into a bit more, this is my opportunity to do so and be a well-rounded business person and entrepreneur. But these are the very skills that enable me to help people. Because the accountants we work with, that is what they love to do. They love to be able to help people with the problems that they have. And they feel lost and they feel confused and they're blaming themselves or just thinking that's just the way it goes. I guess I just have to pay these massive amounts or whatever. And the accountant comes in and says, actually, we can do it this way. And it gives them hope and it helps them do what they love. That's a phenomenal thing. And it's a thing that you can, as an accountant, be proud of yourself for the way that you help businesses be a part of this community and it, whatever community you're in the best possible way. So they lean into what they're best at, you lean into what you're best at, and both of you grow together.
Absolutely. You know, I worked with a firm owner who actually came up with the plan for a profit sharing program for employees in a dream.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
That is amazing. I love to hear where people come up with their ideas. I've had that before too. I've woken up in the morning and went, what if we did this? You know? So yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're on walks. That's where most of mine come from. My morning walk. That's where I'll be like, what about this? Now, probably 8 to 9 times out of 10, I come back and I'm like, hey team, I've got the best idea ever. And they're like, Karen, we already tried that idea. We're in the middle of trying that idea. We thought about that idea last year. You know, there's often a reason that it's just this new thing, but I enjoy it because it's a place for the ideas to swirl around and, you know, fly around and then come back and settle. And everybody's got a different way of doing that. And that's part of our innate creativity.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Karen, for taking the time to talk to me. Now, if listeners want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm on all the things. The PF website is wearepf.com. My own website is karenlrayburn.com, but I'm on all the socials. I would say LinkedIn and Instagram are the two that would be the fastest and best way to get me. And those are all connected on my website, or you just look up my name and you'll probably find it. So I'm on Insta and Twitter and LinkedIn and all the things. But I tend to be on LinkedIn and Insta the most. LinkedIn, because that's where the accountants hang out. Accountants tend to like LinkedIn and I get it. And Instagram, because on my creative side, I love the photos and the videos and the visuals. And I used to be a photographer. Still am a photographer, but I used to be a photographer as a paid thing. And now I do it out of the sheer joy of it. So I like connecting that visual. But that's just a great way to drop me a quick note. And I love, like, you know, speaking about marketing and connecting with humans, like, if you want to work with me in PF, you can go to the PF website and there's a form to fill in. But if you just want to say, hey, I listen to your podcast and I like this, or I had a question about this, or a wondering, or I did this, you know, just share that. Let's just share those human things and connect as people. And there isn't that, I think that's the thing I like about socials. There's not that pressure of, okay, I'm inquiring, I'm setting off on the sales journey. You don't necessarily have to do that. Just connect as a human. And I love meeting people. So I'd love to hear from any of you.
Well, thank you so much. And it's been such a joy to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.